Remember the 5th of November. How many of you saw fireworks yesterday? My husband Roger loves Guy Fawkes Day. He likes blowing things up. Those of you who know me know that I was born in America. And when I came across here, I brought across one of my favorite holidays, which is Thanksgiving. Now, in America, Thanksgiving is celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. But when I try to plug that into our New Zealand society, you've got all the Christmas parties, you got all the end of year breakups, and it was absolutely impossible. So we decided if we were going to do Thanksgiving, we needed to do it earlier. And since my husband loves Guy Fawkes, we tended to have it on the 5th of November. So yesterday we had all the family around and had a big turkey dinner, and my husband bought a big box of fireworks. There's another reason why I remember the 5th of November. A year ago yesterday, I was in hospital being prepped for surgery to remove a malignant growth from my left breast. It's a day I'm not likely to forget. I came across a story not too long ago about what it's like to deal with cancer. It's something like this. One day you go into your kitchen to fix yourself some breakfast. You open up the refrigerator to take out the eggs, and oh my goodness, there's a mountain lion in the fridge. Wait, what? How? Why would there be a mountain lion in my fridge? No time to explain. Run. That thing is going to eat you unless you can find something big enough to kill it first. So you start running. And as you're running, crowds of people gather around you, cheering you on. The only thing that's big enough to kill a mountain lion is a bear. And you know the bear lives way up there at the top of the mountain. So you start running uphill with the mountain lion in hot pursuit. And people are cheering you on. They are backing you. They want to support you. They want to help you as much as they can. So they're bringing you cups of water and slices of orange, and they're all shouting, "Go away, mountain lion, nobody likes you." But he still keeps coming. Now, as you're running, for reasons you don't quite understand, you can hear other people shouting. One of them is saying, "You know, I don't think that's really a mountain lion. I think maybe that's actually a puma." And someone else is shouting, "I've read that mountain lions are allergic to kale. Have you tried rubbing kale on it?" As you're running, you see other people who are also running away from mountain lions. Some of them are kind of wimpy. You know, they're only half grown or they have three legs or whatever, and you think, "Why couldn't I have gotten one of those mountain lions?" But then you look and you see other people who are running away from mountain lions the size of monster trucks with big prehistoric saber-tooth fangs, and you hate yourself for even thinking that such a thing, because who wants to run away from a mountain lion at all, even a three-legged one? Well, as you're running, about this time, someone who's close to you, a parent, a sibling, a child, in my case, my husband, jumps out of the bushes, jumps on top of the mountain lion, and says, "Gosh darn it, mountain lion," which isn't exactly what he said, but we're in church, "stop trying to eat my wife." And the mountain lion punches him in the face. Then finally, out of breath, you can see it. The bear. It's waiting for both of you. The problem is the bear has to go through you to get to the mountain lion. So as it does this, it totally kicks your butt. At the same time, punching your husband in the face. He's rolling around on the ground with blood spurting out of his nose saying, "Can I get some help here? I've just been punched by two apex predators, and I think my nose is broken." And all you can say is, "I'm a little busy here. In case you haven't noticed, I'm busy trying to fight a mountain lion." If you're lucky, the mountain lion and the bear will engage in an epic battle and fall off the side of the cliff, and you'll never see them again. Maybe. Mountain lions are sneaky. You can't be sure. It could come back at any time. You gather yourself up. You start to climb down the mountain. And everybody is so excited. That was amazing. You didn't die. You must be so happy to be climbing down the mountain. Meanwhile, you've blown out both of your knees. You're having an asthma attack. You've twisted your ankle. And you've been mauled by a bear. And you're thinking, I don't care about the mountain. I never wanted to climb it in the first place. Last September of last year, I got called in for my routine mammogram. No big deal. Go in, you get squished, you go home, you don't have to worry about it again for 2 years. That's the way it's supposed to work. About a week later, I got a call back saying, we need you to come in for more tests. You know, I still didn't think anything about it. I thought, cyst, benign, something. They'll do a few tests, they'll send me home and tell me not to worry about it. So I went in. They didn't send me home nearly as quickly as I thought they would. They even made an appointment for a week later saying, bring somebody with you. You would have thought that would have been a clue. But I was quite happy in my denial, thank you very much, because the way I thought of cancer, I thought of it the way Christchurch used to think about earthquakes. It's a terrible thing that happens to other people. Why would I have cancer? Why would I have a mountain lion in my fridge? I'm healthy. I don't smoke. I don't have any cancer in my family. While I was processing all of this, I came across a verse in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. As I was looking at my cancer diagnosis, I was looking at the flames bursting around me. And God promised to walk with me. Have you ever heard the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were along about the same time as Daniel. Instead of getting sent to a lion's den, when they didn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, he tossed them into a fire. But then Nebuchadnezzar looked into the flames, and there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around. The flames weren't touching them. Matter of fact, it wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When Nebuchadnezzar looked into that fire, he saw four people, and one looked like the Son of God. After my surgery, it was discovered that my cancer was a grade 3, which was the most aggressive form of cancer. And it had already started to metastasize into my lymph nodes, which meant that I was going to need a fairly aggressive treatment plan, which was going to include chemotherapy. Chemotherapy I have likened to trying to swat a mosquito with a sledgehammer. You might kill the mosquito, but you're going to do an awful lot of damage in the process. Now, I don't know what you know about chemotherapy, but chemotherapy drugs work by killing cells that divide quickly. Cancer cells divide quickly. This is good. Chemotherapy kills cancer cells. Unfortunately, you have other cells in your body that divide quickly. Hair cells divide quickly. You know, 6 months ago, I had a hairstyle like Ken. And it's not just the hair on your head. I mean, it's everywhere. Your eyebrows thin. I went up to put on my mascara one morning for church, and there wasn't anything to put them on. Your fingernails are cells that divide quickly. You know, shortly after I finished chemotherapy, I noticed that I had rings in my fingernails, kind of like you see the rings in a tree. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool, because there was a ring for each round of chemotherapy that I had, which I thought was kind of really interesting and novel until my fingernails started breaking off right at those rings. Something else that's a rapidly dividing cell are blood cells. So when you get chemotherapy, they give you a steroid injection right away, or else you are going to pick up any disease that comes at you. Red blood cells are quickly dividing cells. There is no tired like chemo tired.
I remember when I was going through chemotherapy, I would get out of bed in the morning, I would go take a shower, I would come back to the bedroom and sit down for 5 minutes because I was so out of breath from the exertion of walking from one room to another. And then you finish chemotherapy, and then you start radiation. Now, radiation is interesting because when you go in for radiation, you're going in every single day for however long you have to have it. In my case, it was 4 weeks. And you go in, and you sit outside of a waiting room that has these big yellow warning signs that says, radiation, do not enter. And this is the room I have to go into. So you go in, they fit you with the little light thingy, and then all of the staff leaves. You are totally on your own while they pump you full of this radiation. Now, after a week, you start to get a bit of a sunburn. After 4 weeks, you've got big blisters all over where they've done the radiation. I came across a quote yesterday from Samuel Decker Thompson that says, "We are all just a car crash, a diagnosis, an unexpected phone call, a newfound love, or a broken heart away from becoming a completely different person." How beautifully fragile we are that so many things can take but a moment to alter who we are forever. And I will tell you one thing, cancer changes you. You know, my hair is growing back and people ask me all the time if I like it. And I do. I think I look better with short hair than I ever thought I would. But I mean, for most of you have known me for quite a few years, but for those of you who don't, my hair used to come all the way down the back. It was practically my trademark. While I like the new hairstyle, I don't recognize that woman that I see in the mirror. Cancer steals your sense of who you are. Women tend to define themselves by how they look. I belong to a cancer support group online. So a few days ago, I put it out there. I said, if you had to say one thing to a room full of people, what would it be? I collected some of their responses for you. One thing I would say is to please acknowledge what the person is going through and let them know that all those little things, sending a text, a note, leaving a message, helping with food for that person or family, mean more to us than you could ever imagine. Sometimes not feeling supported is almost as difficult as facing the cancer. Someone else says, tell them that even when we feel bad,